I want to get into this changing of the guard a bit in how the national media is talking about Adam Peters and the Commanders' stance on the Terry McLaurin negotiation. So the first audio clip here, this one's a little bit longer, so we'll have to jump in and kind of read and react here a bit. But this is Chris Canty of ESPN Radio and Television talking about what the team and what Peters are doing with McLaurin. Give this a listen.
It makes no sense to me. This is a guy that, from a culture standpoint, embodies everything you want your program to be about. I don't understand why you don't want to pay this guy. See, sometimes these organizations, these front offices, they can operate in these negotiations with a tad bit of hubris. And it feels like that's what's happening with Adam Peters right now. Sometimes the worst thing that can happen to you in sports and in life is to have success early on because you think you know it all. And you try to hardline every single negotiation. You try to win every deal. Here's the thing that every successful business person knows. You can't win every deal. Every contract negotiation ain't gonna be a deal. Sometimes it's just getting the contract signed. And in this instance, that's exactly what needs to happen with Terry McLaurin because he means so much to Jaden Daniels' development. I don't understand why the Washington Commanders are taking this approach with somebody that, from a locker room chemistry standpoint, from an on-field production standpoint, brings everything you want to the table. If Adam Peters is willing to do this to Terry McLaurin, then he's willing to do it to anybody in that Commanders locker room. And that might be one of the worst messages you could be sending to the rest of the guys that are involved in your program after having so much success early on.
So that's a powerful comment from a guy who played in the league for a long, long time. Specifically at the end there, where he says, if you're willing to do this to Terry McLaurin, you are willing to do this to anybody. And I do think that is the message that they're sending, maybe strategically. But the former player, Canty, is saying that's a terrible message to send in the dressing room.
Yeah, I think on both sides you can see this. One, the audio we're going to play is both coming from former players, so they're always going to side with the player getting the money. That's just naturally going to be the case of things. But also, they are sending that message strategically so that everyone knows that when you go into negotiations, you're not just going to walk in here and get the biggest number possible. Like, if you're willing to do it to Terry, that means I'm willing to do it with Mikey Sanders still. I'm willing to do it with Quan Martin. I'm willing to do it with everybody because I was willing to do it with the star of the team. So he's saying it as if they're sending
a message and it's terrible. And Adam Peters might be going, we're sending a message and it's great.
Yeah, like they're looking at it from both sides. And whether you like it or not, I think it's pretty clear that they wanted to send that message. We're willing to do hard business. And like the 49ers have always gotten it done. But that's become their MO, right? That it's always going to be something that is not going to go as smooth as some other organizations. But they get the deal that they like or closer to the deal that they like. They're not going to overpay, whatever it may be, but that's how it is.
But what I don't like about that, you're right, that is the way they do business in San Fran. See Debo, see Ayuk, see Brandon Ayuk, rather,
Nick Bosa.
See Williams, see Bosa. There is this culture of frustration with the team. Now, it generally does not trickle over to like being mad at Kyle Shanahan or the coaching staff or whatever, but there's this culture of animus, essentially. Where now it's Juwan Jennings' turn. And it's constantly rotating. There's always a guy who's at odds with the team or two, someone missing practice. And I don't think it helps. I mean, they haven't won anything. Like, they've been close. They've knocked at the door. But I do wonder if that's the best practice. I would venture to say that it's not. My point all along has been that I don't know that this is really about message sending. Like, I know that's Canty's point. You and I tend to think Peters is certainly showing this is how we're going to negotiate because it's the first time he's been able to do this. But I'm not convinced of that. I think it might just be every situation's different, and this is about Terry McLaurin's age. That if Terry McLaurin was 2 years younger, let's just say he was DK Metcalf, came into the league, played the 6 years, wanted his new contract, and instead of being 29 as we talk today, Terry McLaurin was 27, I think they would have had a deal done 2 months ago. I don't think this is about trying to get every penny or winning every deal. I think this is quite literally a disagreement on, at Terry's age, he is about to slow down, and McLaurin and the agent don't view it that way. They're saying, I'm going into years 7, 8, and 9. But I constantly find myself thinking about the player perspective here. All the players are buddies with McLaurin. They're talking to him every single day. They're going to side with him over Peters. If they just dismiss this as business and roll their eyes, then no harm, no foul. But there is a chance that it does some damage to, it dents a little bit of this brotherhood, camaraderie, sure. You know, we're all here as commanders. Like, part of the beauty of this brotherhood, Toby, is that from ownership on down, Mitch Rails having lunch with these guys with Josh Harris and asking Jonathan Allen, like, what can we do for you? And John Allen's going, you know, I can't believe when my family's at the game, there's nowhere for my girlfriend to go do this in the second quarter, whatever. And he's like, no problem. And it's fixed next week. Like, this is how they've shown the players. And I know it's just business, but this could be a little bit of a dent in that just because it's McLaurin. If it was Quan Martin or Mikey Sanristil or any of the other guys you're talking about, it might not do any damage. But this is the one guy that it felt like when it's time for him to get paid, they'll say, how much do you want?
Yeah.
And I'm oversimplifying it. You can't just give him a bad contract. But over a few million dollars, this is worth it to them? I do wonder if that could do some damage in the locker room.
Yeah, and I think everything that you said is correct. I don't think that it is something that they went out of their way to send the message. I think that they truly are trying to do best by the team, best business. But I think what Chris Canty's talking about is what I was fearful of. You don't want to send that message that, hey, I'm willing to do this to Terry McLaurin, so I'm willing to do it to any of you. You want it to be, hey, we paid our guy, we'll take care of our people. And I just don't think it was worth the squeeze with Terry. Right, with anybody else, I think it's different. And like, we try to dismiss all the extra stuff and like, it's just about age. It's Terry, right? Like, you talk about other situations, like when Mikey Samra still comes up, right? Or, you know, Jaden's a totally different because he's the quarterback. Sure. But somebody else comes up for a contract, it's not Terry.
Tobes, I said it earlier. They signed 20 guys this offseason, or traded for them, or re-signed. 20. That's half almost of the 53-man roster that are either going to turn 30 or are already 30. And this is the time where age all of a sudden matters. Now, they didn't give anybody the contract McLaurin wants, and I understand it's not six and one half dozen in the other. It's not apples to apples. But the point is the point, which is they have not had a huge problem with age, and all of a sudden now when it's correct. Time for Terry to get his bag, they go, oh, you're too old. Not to mention, he just watched you trade for Deebo Samuel.
That's another point.
Who isn't durable, who isn't a guy that has ever bled or sweat here, and you got no problem paying him what you pay Terry McLaurin.
And that's another point that I think has to be factored in here, is think about your Terry's camp, right? You bring in another guy, you just traded for him. Now, you didn't give up significant capital, but you gave up a fifth rounder for him. So you did go get him. If I'm Terry, I'm sitting here thinking, okay, sweet, we're going to have a good offense. They'll pay me. But as time goes on, I'm thinking, they're not getting to my number. Are they really going to keep this guy? Is that really their plan? They better pay me.
You mean, let me clarify. You mean that they would re-sign
him.
And extend Deebo.
Yeah, and thinking, oh, he's going to be the guy when I've been around here. And so people are saying, oh, he's going to take the discount and he, you know, what? Terry is going to cash in one last time. It's this contract. And maybe he would have been willing to go to a different, I don't know how much the Deebo situation plays in there, but I just don't understand why they chose to take this stance with Terry, like you said, over a couple of million dollars. And, you know, if it's something where Terry's asking for 35, okay, then we can have a more real discussion. I don't think he is asking for that. I know the report was significantly more or something like that. If you listen to the verbiage from Schefter, he says, I think, and who knows if that's a report or if that's speculation.
For over 35.
So to me, if they were to get somewhere in that 30, 31, 32 range, they'll get it figured out. If the Commanders are up to, what was the report? I forget who it was from, saying that he got up to 27. Then what are we doing? Just get to the 30, do it, figure out the
well,
guarantees.
That's my point. When you're not paying your quarterback, when the cap is this huge, a couple million dollars
correct.
Is not that big of a deal. And I understand the logic from Peters might be it's a bad contract to give him fill in the blank. It's a bad business move. And to that, I would say I go back to what Chris Canty just said, actually. The line he used was you can't win every deal. Sometimes you may lose, I'm paraphrasing, but sometimes you may lose the deal a little bit for the grand scheme of the organization. I think it's worth a $2.5 million commercial 100%. To say, do everything the right way for 6 years, we'll take care of you. That's worth $3 million well, overpay.
And part of the reason you bring in the guy is the quality of the people, not necessarily the player, but the quality of the people that you've brought into this organization is they can understand things, right? They're people. They're not just robots. You think when one of these guys comes up, they won't realize, like, yeah, maybe they overpaid a little bit for Terry, but that's Terry. That's Terry.
Right, and that's Danny will frequently say, well, if you do it with him, now you got to do it next year with Luvu. That's not the case, by the way.
I think everyone understands that it's Terry
There's
and what
one
Terry
of these
means.
Guys.
Like, I think you, the crazy part, and you brought this up, and it rings true in my head all the time. Jaden is probably getting to be the face of the franchise. Terry still is, in my mind. Maybe it's 1A, 1B with Jaden, but when you're at the playoff or the playoff clinching game against Atlanta, who are they chanting the name of? It's not Jaden, Terry.
Right.
He's still the guy. Everybody loves this dude. Like, Jaden gets a big pop whenever he runs over from the other field. Who's chanting? Who are they chanting the name of? They're chanting Terry's name. He's not even there at practice today.
Yeah, like, he's been the guy for the longest that is beloved.
I just don't think it was worth the squeeze on this one. And if they sign him pretty soon, I think we'll still just move on from this. But I don't love the fact that now we're having discussions about when do they have to get this done before it starts affecting week one. I don't want this affecting this year.
Well, they got to get moving here quick.
Exactly.
I mean, this week is still irrelevant in the big picture of preparing for week one. McLaurin wouldn't be playing in the preseason game. But I've kind of said all along, next week is the one I've circled where that's ramp-up time. You could get on a treadmill and run for 30 minutes without stopping and be in great shape. You got to play football to get ready for football. And so I think by the end of next week is kind of when he start to be uneasy as to, is he going to be himself when the season starts? We've got a clip I want to play next from Dan Orlovsky, the analyst, former quarterback at ESPN as well, talking about how Peters is handling Terry McLaurin. A little bit of a national shift, it feels like, in some of the coverage of them digging in